So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Text 3. And forgive me for my horrible Sanskrit. I'm out of practice. Taya upa gura pariba kandara. Raho anuman trayurapa krita chetana. Nakara ramo bubu he duratyayam divam siddhi pramada parigraha. So we just go right into it. Half hour. Translation. Queen Purajani embraced the king, and the king also responded by embracing his shoulders. In this way, in a solitary place, they enjoyed joking words. Thus, King Puranjana became very much captivated by his beautiful wife and deviated from his good sense. He forgot the passing of days and nights meant that his span of life was being reduced without profit. Purport by his divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word pramada in this verse is very significant. A beautiful wife is certainly enlivening to her husband, but at the same time is the cause of degradation. The word pramada means enlivening as well as maddening. Generally, a householder does not take the passing of days and nights very seriously. A person in ignorance takes it as the usual course that days come and after the days, the nights come. This is the law of material nature. But a man in ignorance does not know when the sun rises early in the morning. It begins to take away the balance of his life. Thus, day after day, the span of one's life is reduced. And forgetting the duty of human life, the foolish man simply remains in the company of his wife and enjoys her in a secluded place. Such a condition is degraded consciousness. Human consciousness should be used for elevation of Krishna consciousness. But when a person is too much attracted to his wife and family affairs, he does not take Krishna consciousness very seriously. He thus becomes degraded, not knowing that he cannot buy back even a second of his life in return for millions of dollars. The greatest loss in life is passing time without understanding Krishna. Every moment of our lives should be utilized properly, and a proper use of life is to increase devotional service to the Lord. Without devotional service to the Lord, the activities of life become simply a waste of time. Srama eva hi kevalam. Simply by becoming dutiful, we do not make any profit in life. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if after performing one's occupational duty very perfectly, one does not make progress in Krishna consciousness, it should be understood that he simply wasted his time in valueless labor. Jai. Om Agane Tiridam Nisha Ganandana Sarakaya Takshun Minatam Yana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapatane Anubhutari Swayam Rupa Kadamayana Tvati Svapatantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavenda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So such a nice verse, because it's, once again, Prabhupada is saying that devotional service is so important. If you look at Prabhupada's books, what does he speak mostly about? Doing devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what the difference is between a good devotee and a devotee of substance. Right? There's a difference. A devotee of substance that takes every opportunity to engage in Krishna consciousness, because he knows each day is an opportunity to become closer and closer to Krishna, to deepen that relationship with Krishna. And each day is a chance to introduce people in degraded consciousness to Krishna. Right? Prabhupada said once that what are people doing at home? They're watching TV, but they're just waiting for the day that Shishi Gornitai are coming down the street to see them. Right? Prabhupada said. So this is what the duty of a Vaishnava is use every second, every minute, to engage in devotional service so that one can become purified. Because as we go along the path, we become purified, and then in no time we can become empowered. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtana Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tara Pavatana. That is, as one engages in devotional service in the Sankirtan movement, one can only become empowered by Krishna to propagate the Sankirtan movement. So this devotional service is not a small thing. It's actually quite an amazing tool. It's an amazing opportunity for us to clean the anarthas out of the heart. I have a friend in Alachua, Lakshmi Narsingha Prabhu, and he tells me that whenever he's so joyful cleaning the temple in Alachua, the floor, because he says whenever he sweeps the floor, he realizes he's sweeping his anarthas out of the heart, right? That the more he sweeps, the more the anarthas leave. And the more the anarthas leave, the more he becomes purified and the more he's able to engage in Krishna consciousness. He's been practicing for many years, but this devotional service is so powerful that even if one does one little thing for Krishna, Krishna will not forget, right? Just one small, minute attempt to serve him, and at the time of death, Krishna will help. I knew one boy when I was preaching in Iraq, one boy, and every day he was out trying to distribute books. Every day he was trying. And then one day he was shot in the head, right? And he was dying. And he said, "I just want to chant before I leave my body," right? They called me, I talked to him. I was like, "Yeah, you're going to die, sorry. Here's a shalagram to put on your head and some tulsi and all these things." And then I left. And when I went back, they told me that he left his body, and I just wanted to see what happened, Because he was telling me, "All I have to do is chant my 16 rounds." Prabhupada said, "If you chant these 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, then you'll go back to Godhead." And he's like, "So I have just this little bit of time left." He was still conscious. He got shot right over here, and then two times, and anyway. And then when I went back, they told me he left his body, right? So, I wanted to just, curiosity got the best of me. I wanted to see how many rounds he finished, and he did. He finished his 16, right? And the doctor told me that he finished his 16, and as soon as he got done with his 16, he said, "I finished my 16 rounds, now I can take rest," and he had a heart attack and left and said Krishna, right? This is the power of just doing a little bit of devotional service. That one doesn't have to be a Mahabhagavat to engage in Krishna consciousness. One can just do whatever they can to utilize their life. Do whatever they can to become serious in Krishna consciousness. That's the point. We have to become serious in Krishna consciousness. We have to become serious in our devotional service. Why do we think Prabhupada stresses so much devotional service? It's because we're not serious in it at all. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj once said that if you don't have joy from doing devotional service, it's because you're making Vaishnava aparads, right? He also said that, it said once in a lecture I remember I heard, that he said that from chanting inattentively comes inattentive service. So every day is an opportunity for us to dive deeper into our service attitude. To not just dive deeper, right? Not just dive deeper, but to embrace that service. Like, it's the only thing we have to live off of. Rupa Goswami says that one should be intensely greedy to perform devotional service, not just, hey, Prabhu, can you sweep the floor? Oh, Prabhu, that's not my service. The famous words in the temple, "Prabhu, that's not my service. Hare Krishna." Yes, I will sweep the floor. What else do you want me to do, Prabhu? Should I sweep? Should I scrub the ceilings? Anything to do this devotional service, because I know that Krishna won't forget, and even better, it makes me feel better after I do devotional service. But when I first joined the temple in Germany, I remember my main service was to clean the bathrooms, right? And I love that service, because, you're cleaning up other people's, things. And I remember feeling so much better after I just did this service, just cleaning the toilets, just scrubbing them, getting in there, rolling up your sleeves, and getting into devotional service. I remember feeling a little bit of joy that I accomplished something for that day, that I tried. In so many ways, people just go day after day, life after life, hour after hour, just enjoying the material energy, just enjoying people as objects of sense gratification, just enjoying people as not what they really are, a spirit soul. So this is the wonderful position of devotional service and Lord Chaitanya's movement. I was thinking the other day that just like Sankirtan devotees, because I'm a Sankirtan devotee, so I remember I used to have to go into malls and distributing Karmi clothes in South Africa because, they would catch you and they would take you in the basement and beat you and then rob you to police. So we used to have to go in, just like a couple months ago, we used to have to go in karmi clothes. And I remember, just like all these personalities came with Lord Chaitanya, Mahavishnu, Advaita Acharya, all of them took disguises to be able to give out the mercy. Same way, this is the beauty of the Sankirtan movement, that everybody must take a humble position in order to engage in devotional service, in order to preach Krishna consciousness. Everyone must take a humble position. Everyone's forced to take it. Because you know, everyone else is in charge, and you're not anymore. Not such a hard thing to do. So instead of enjoying our spouses, or enjoying our friends, you know, oh, I love you so much. Instead of all these things, how about enjoying in helping each other engage in Krishna consciousness, engaging in devotional service, encouraging one another, building relationships based on love and trust. Right? Based on love and trust. It's two things I always say that we don't do as devotees. We don't say thank you at all. Right? We hardly ever say thank you to anybody. Even other devotees, when they serve something, we never say thank you. We just assume and take it for granted. That's their job. Many devotees, not everybody, but many devotees. We never, and we're scared to have fun in devotional service. So two things I've realized, for myself at least, I've realized my realization about myself. And for 15 years, I've never said thank you, and I've never had fun. So we have to build these relationships on personalism and do our devotional service, realizing that we're doing it for a person. He's not just a hunk of stone sitting on the altar or so many things. He's a person. We have to engage in personalized devotional service. I remember I was flying from New York City to India on Air India. Oh, such a horrible airline. And I was coming through the security checkpoint, and you know, when you have a whole suitcase full of Shaligram Shilas, it tends to, you know, cause a little disturbance for people. Like, oh, a box of rocks, you know, what's this? And I remember this huge black guy, like big, you know. Well, everybody's big when you're my size, but he was like a really big guy, you know? Really like, bah. And he said, what's this? Open up the bag. And I was in a dhoti and everything. And I was like thinking, okay, this is going to be fun. And he said, what's this? I said, this is God. This is God. He said, that's God? I said, yeah, that's God. He said, that's God. But he's black. I said, come on, how long have you been growing up telling me that Jesus was black? I'm showing you God is black right in front of your face. And the guy got so ecstatic that he realized it. Oh, this is God. God is black. And he started calling all his friends and everything, and they started buying books and all types of things. So you see that people wanted this personalism. People want these things. People, they don't want the impersonalism. This is how Prabhupada was able to touch so many hearts. Was it through the philosophy? Maybe some. Or was this through his personal dealings with his disciples? Which one was it? The personal dealings. Radhanath Swami once told me, the most effective way to bring people to Krishna consciousness is to become their friend. To develop a loving relationship and a trusting relationship with them. And engage them in devotional service, not say, like Jayananda Prabhu used to do. Jayananda Prabhu is my hero. Because he would engage people in such a loving, personal way, he would just get people off the street and say, oh, would you like to come help me for a minute? Oh, cut this piece of wood just like this. Oh, for the Rath Yatra cart. Oh, even though the wood was like, you know, he's like, oh, it's cut so perfectly. It looks so amazing. You sure you're not a carpenter? That you haven't done this before? Oh, it looks so nice. So why don't you now put it here and just hammer it? Wow. You're born for this service. You are born for this. Look how perfect that looks. And this way, Jayananda was able to engage so many people in devotional service through personalism. Right? So this is what Prabhupada's stressing so much in his purports, is that we have to engage in devotional service. This is what's going to keep us around. Like, we shouldn't become attached to the spiritual master. We should do something that the spiritual master becomes attached to us. We should do something like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, don't try and see God. Do something that God will see you. Do some devotional service so that Krishna takes notice, so that Radharani takes notice. Even Prabhupada said to Radharani in a prayer once he wrote, he said, please put in a good word for me with your Krishna. for all the service. This service is what's going to save us at the time of death. So at the time of death, we'll be focused on Krishna. Focused on Krishna. Because that's ultimately what the goal of life is, to be focused on Krishna. I remember one boy, he didn't want to be a devotee. You know, he used to run away really fast. Also in Iraq, also. And he wouldn't just run away, he'd jump over cars, right? Throw trash cans in my way, so I'd keep him from getting a book. Because I would chase him, you know, with all this body armor and all this stuff, 130 degrees Fahrenheit, and chase him. And we'd chase him. And still, you know, he wouldn't want a book. He'd look at the book, he'd hold the book. He did a couple things, bought some water for the Didi sometimes, right? And then we were on a patrol one day, driving down the street, you know. And his car and his truck blew up in the air, like 10 meters, straight up in the air in a huge fireball. Huge. And he came out and he was dying, and, you know, I'm a terrible nurse, so if you're ever dying, don't have me there, because I just, yeah, you're dying. Not much I can do for you, but I can preach to you. And so after telling this boy so many things about Krishna, he said, for so long, I've run away from Krishna. Now at the time of death, Krishna is the only one here, and he left his body. Just by engaging in a little bit of devotional service. And this is coming from some fallen rascal like me. I mean, that's not really, I'm not any kind of advanced. I'm just the lowest underneath the tile here. But the point is, this is what devotional service will do. Just one opportunity we have. We should take it. And we shouldn't just take it. We should push people out of the way to get to it. Right? And this is what Prabhupada wanted of us. Prabhupada wasn't so into the caste Goswami scene and all these things. I remember Harisori Prabhu was telling me one time at his house, he was saying, yeah, I remember one time in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada was approached by one caste Brahmin and said, oh, Swamiji, I pray that in your disciples' next lives, they take birth in Brahmin families. And Prabhupada said, oh, thank you very much. And I bless you in your life that you become a book distributor in my ISKCON. So you see, that Prabhupada was more about devotional service. He wasn't so into these. He wasn't so into this. And this is actually our whole line, is devotional service. It's not to just sit in one place. It's to do something for Krishna. Do something for Krishna. Whether it's just picking something up, whether it's painting the altar, worshipping the deities, distributing books, cooking, even making the devotees feel loved. Our service is our life. It's our heart. It's right there in the middle. And we should take it. And we should, as we say in America, we should run with it like we stole it. Like we stole it. But even better is to engage others in this way, so that they come out of this degraded consciousness, and then the Habakramano Society, that even in littlest of progress saves one from the greatest fear. And if we're householders, well, we should try and put Krishna in the center and do everything is focused on that. Vaisheshika Prabhu and Mother Nirukula, they're excellent examples of household life. Every decision they've made has been based around their service of book distribution. They bought a house near San Francisco Airport so Vaisheshika Prabhu could go and distribute books every day. Everything has just been around that service. And you can see they're so happy. This is what real human life means. Not just, you know, going to the bars, like, rah, taking a beer, all these things. Sleeping with so many different women, sleeping with so many different men, going to the disco and, you know, having a good time. No. Every part of the body is meant to be engaged in devotional service in some way. So, I think I'll stop, because I was told 8:30. Are there any questions at all? Yes, Prabhu? No, the point is we should be greedy to, we shouldn't we shouldn't. The tendency is sometimes is that the service is presented to us, and we come up with excuses on why not to do the service. And we say, oh, you know, I got some rounds left. Oh, I have to read. Oh, yeah. Hey, what's that right there? And we run away really fast. You know, we don't take every opportunity that's presented towards us. That's what I mean by we should push people out of the way. If somebody says, the temple president says, I need one devotee today to do some service. We should fight to get to that one service. You know, we should really grab it as an opportunity. Not necessarily throwing the devotees out of the way. You know, no, but we should see it in that way as intense greed to perform that service. And we should take it as an opportunity, once in a lifetime opportunity, to do that service. That's what I mean by this. That's actually the attitude we should have. And then we'll be more attentive with our service. If we see it just as, like in the military, we always said complacency kills. So becoming complacent in your devotional service, it kills your kripa. So you think, I remember one time I was sweeping the floor and I got into the habit in the temple room, I would pick up the carpet and sweep everything. Jai Shishirada Gopinati. And I remember I would pick up the rug and sweep all the dust under the rug and then put it back down again and think, oh, you know, devotional service finished. But then one day I had the realization, oh, Krishna can see past the rug. You know? So this is what I mean by this. We have to take it as every time we go on the altar, every time we serve the spiritual master, every time we do these things, we should take it as a once in a lifetime opportunity to do this service. And therefore we'll put our heart into this service. And it won't be a chore for us, like to wash dishes, or it won't be a chore. It'll be joyfully performed, because that's ultimately how we're supposed to perform devotional services, joyfully. Not like, oh, I gotta mop the floor. Oh, he could have done it, you know. No, singing and dancing, mopping the floor. This is what I mean by that. Clear? Oh, thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu? Yeah, you can. You can do a service 23 hours a day. But you still have to make time. And a good manager, Prabhupada says, the duty of managers in Krishna, in ISKCON, is to happily engage devotees in Krishna consciousness. So a good manager won't engage you 24 hours a day and not lead you any time to hear and chant. And say, so you have a lot of service. Well then, you know, what do you have to do? Okay, instead of sleeping 9 hours, I sleep 5 hours. I sleep 6 hours. I take every chance. I once did an experiment when I was in the military. I wanted to see how much time I waste during the day. So I every time I had nothing to do, I pulled out one of Prabhupada's books, Nectar of Instruction, and I read it. 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 20 minutes here, half hour here, 1 hour here, 2 minutes here, something here, and it ended up, I read like 3 hours that day, 3.5 hours about. We always have time to hear and chant. We always have time. It's just that the mind, we make excuses sometimes why we can't. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. But good managers, and that's where also the honest relationship comes in between the devotees. Because if you feel overworked and you feel overstressed, then you should be able to approach your authority and say, Prabhu, I need some time to hear and chant, please. Right? But we have 24 hours in a day. How much do we really use in devotional service? How much? Not so much. We could always do better. We should always have that attitude. We can always do better. ABS, always better service. Right? We should. Right? When I was a temple president in South Africa, every time we did a Harinam or anything, we'd bring everybody together, the whole congregation, and we'd do like an after actions review, you know? We go through what went good, what went bad, and how we can improve. So we should always, so We might have no time, but we should always look at ways to improve our time management so that we can make more quality time. Instead of, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, 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 okay, 16, finished, out the door. No, we should take time, not rush our relationship with Krishna, not rush our service. You know, so yeah, sometimes there's lots of things to do, but then every day is not like that. Unless you're a manager, then it seems every day there's stuff to do. So there has to be balance. Work, play, study, time to associate with people. All these things have to be balanced. So the idea is to become balanced eventually. It discusses this in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says. One has to be balanced. No. We always have time. Almost always. Yes, Prabhu?
You mentioned that we should not become attached to spirit and master, but we should act in that way that spirit and master becomes attached to us.
Yeah, we're too focused on the Vapu and not on the Vani. Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur describes that from following the instruction comes the association. So we're too focused on, you know, oh, my spiritual master is practicing the harmonium. Oh, I have to go and sit there, and I put my service to the side and I just go sit there and just watch. You know? You know, we're too focused on these things. If you look, so many of Prabhupada's most senior disciples in ISKCON had hardly any association with Prabhupada. Some, like Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, met Prabhupada twice, and both times were 2 minutes. He was so focused on serving. So in that way, yeah, we shouldn't become attached to the physical association. It's nice. It's great to have the physical association. We should try and get it. But we shouldn't neglect our service at the same time. Like Prabhupada one time, Jayananda Prabhu was sleeping in class because he was so tired from doing his service. Right? And they said, and they were going to wake him up, and Prabhupada said, no, let him sleep. You know, because he was so engaged in service. Right? But if you look, was Prabhupada recognized by Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, you know, for what reason? From the whole Sampradaya, Prabhupada was able to accomplish for what reason? Because he understood the Vani. He understood the instruction. And from that instruction, he was never separate from the Guru. If one follows the order of the spiritual master perfectly, then the spiritual master is never separate from the disciple.
Yeah. Physical association.
Yeah.
Because even if you follow his instructions, still there is some attachment.
Yeah, no, there's always going to be some. There's always going to be some attachments. But the thing is, when we neglect service to do that. I mean, I've seen this. I mean, I did it once with my spiritual master. I cooked for him, and then he went to go play the harmonium, and I just left everything on the stove and went up and watched him play the harmonium, and I burnt everything. I didn't just burn everything. I turned the pots black. Right? And then the woman yelled at me and hit me with a spoon. Like, what are you, so spaced out? Blah, blah. You know? So, what did I learn from that? Okay, I have to be, okay, you know, it's nice to see that, but maybe he'll recognize me a little bit more when he sees that I'm doing my service and not just neglecting my service just to stand next to him. Or like, you know, or just look at him. Shouldn't you have service right now? Yeah. No, we have to. There's a spiritual master and gives us a service. He engages us in the service of Radha Krishna. Right? He doesn't want. I mean, I'm not a guru. I mean, not at all. I mean, but I know from talking to various initiating spiritual masters in the movement, they say that it's nice to have the disciples around. Right? But when they neglect doing their main service to have them around, then they see their visit as an impediment because now Krishna is being neglected. This is what a few sannyasis and a few initiating spiritual masters told me. They said, you know, sometimes I go and all my disciples just stop doing all their services altogether. You know, they're supposed to be on the altar and they don't show up. And, you know, they're supposed to go out on book distribution. They don't go out the whole week I'm there. They just hang around my door waiting for me. And all these services are being neglected. Krishna is being neglected, he says. He'd much rather them go out and do their service than to sit in front of his door waiting for him to walk outside. This is what a few said. I mean, this is what I've, you know, what was told to me by some senior members. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, at the beginning we need that attachment. We need to be in a, but we have to, at one point we have to grow up, and we have to do something for the spiritual master. At one point we have to grow up in our Krishna consciousness, right? We have to see Krishna consciousness more than just, you know, because the spiritual master is not going to be there forever. I mean, the rate that Prabhupada's disciples are leaving now is pretty alarming. You know, figure Jayavaita Maharaj Meena had a discussion, and he said in the next 15 years, maybe 3 or 4 will be left the way it's going. So many are leaving. I mean, in the last 3 years, how many Prabhupada disciples have left their body in the last 3 years? Even spiritual masters, today's spiritual masters, how many have bad health? How many can't travel because they're getting older in age? Mukunda Maharaj is almost, I think, in his late 60s. You know? Right? So at what point are we going to actually start taking control of Krishna, of ISKCON? Are we going to start taking control of Prabhupada's movement? At what point? So yeah, at one point we have to grow up. I mean, how many times did Prabhupada see his spiritual master? We even have second generation spiritual masters now that never even met Prabhupada. So at one point we have to understand that the Vapu is not everything. That we have the instruction, it's what's going to give us our life. It's stated that one should take the order of a spiritual master and he should wear it and carry it on his head like it's a precious jewel. Right? When are we going to come to that stage? We have to. We have to. We can't just assume the spiritual master will always be there in his person, in his physical form, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And my kids, you know, will be initiated by him, and their kids. No, at one point, the spiritual master is going to depart, and that's when the real test is. Of our faith and conviction in the order of the spiritual master in devotional service, when he's there no longer to guide us and say, you know, okay, you know, take this and put it here. Okay, Guru Maharaj, I'm putting it here. Okay, now do, no. When they're gone, that's when the real test. Do you understand the order of your spiritual master? Do you understand the instruction of your spiritual master? Was your relationship just based on a physical level, or was it based on a spiritual level? Which is it? That's the point. Eventually, we have to come off the physical level and go into the spiritual level. And then we see them when we do. And then also, to be honest, I mean, my Guru Maharaj, I've only seen him 8-9 times. I've been his disciple for like almost 9 years or so, 7 years or so, 8 years. Right? And each time I see him, that's little 5 minutes I have with him mean much more to me than all those times I traveled with him. Because when I traveled with him, I just took him for granted. Like, oh yeah, my guru's here. I see him all the time. We get on the plane together. He calls me a rascal. I pick up his bag. You know, things like that. But when I go, I once went 5 years without seeing him. And then I saw him. And at one moment, he gave me a hug and told me, thank you for your preaching. That moment was the greatest moment of my life. It blew all the physical association out of the water. Just to know that just by following that, I at least he was thankful and he showed some appreciation. You know? So we have to. We all have to grow up. Prabhupada wanted all of us to be the next acharyas. All of us to start preaching this Krishna consciousness movement. All of us to spread it over every town and every village. So I hope that answered or cleared up anything at all.
He said that he was nicer, you know, it's like a next step. But also,
yeah.
To go through this, first you should have.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, you should have the association, you should do some service, but then at one point you have to leave the, you know, in America it's very common. Once you're 17 years old, you know, they kick you out of the house as fast as they can, and you're on your own now, right? It's, you got to fend for yourself. At one point, we have to go out of the shelter, go out of the immediate, you know, out from under the wing of the spiritual master, and we have to take a chance in Krishna consciousness preaching. We have to do something. We always have that connection. We always have that association in the form of the instruction. At one point, we have to. Especially today's modern spiritual masters, it's not like, you know, the guru of Vedic times was the village guru. He never left the village. Nowadays, spiritual masters are all over the planet trying to preach this message. So when we have the association, we should take advantage. But we shouldn't let that physical overshadow the needful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, physically, he's always there in his letters, in his lectures, in his bhajans, his kirtans, in his picture. So you're never without physical association. You know, if you're listening to his lecture, that's the same as him. If you look at his picture, that's non-different. Right? If you remember the times that you spent with him, that's non-different. You're remembering him, and that is remembering Krishna also. Help you remember Krishna. So yeah, at first, when we're at the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, we need it. But then, you know, for the sake of spreading the movement, we have to go. Like Prabhupada sent all the early disciples to London. He didn't keep them next to him. He trained them up and sent them to London to preach to Europe. And he sent this one here and this one here. Trained them up, send them. Train and send, train and send, train and send. So at one point, yeah, at first, but then we have to advance. It's all, the name of the game is advancement. Right? But sometimes we take a chance, we have to take a chance for Krishna. We have to do something extraordinary for Krishna. At least one time in our life, we should do something extraordinary for the spiritual master and for Krishna. Extraordinary. And that's what Prabhupada did. Something extraordinary for his spiritual master. Something that no other disciple could do. No other disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, did what Srila Prabhupada did. So the example is right here in front of us. That this is the perfection of disciple. He understood. So, okay. So I guess I'll end here. Forgive any offenses I've made in this presentation. I'm not such a philosophical person so much sometimes. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.